Having been gone this week, it feels like I've been gone for a couple weeks, but it was great when I got back and was working on this sermon to realize, wait a minute, we did this last week, so it's not too much space between these two halves of chapter 2 of Daniel. So please turn, if you will, to chapter 2 of Daniel. We will be covering verses 25 through 49 this morning. Chapter 2 of Daniel, verses 25 through 49. You know, last time we saw that the king sort of had a bad dream, right? We call it a nightmare. He was disrupted. His sleep was, he was cast out. He couldn't make sense of his dream. He couldn't remember half of it. Things were driving him crazy and those around him, obviously. He was concerned about the dream and its interpretation. He made the statement, "I had a dream and my spirit is troubled." To know the dream, he needed to know what that was all about. He needed to understand the meaning of the dream. Nebuchadnezzar, we also figured out that he didn't trust any of those most trusted advisors. And so he put a test to them. Tell me the dream, then tell me the interpretation. If you do that, you get all kinds of wonderful blessings. But if not, he will rip them limb from limb, because that was his character. He was the absolute authority. He could do whatever he wanted. It's interesting that it's not until he's offered that decree that we find out about Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, that they didn't even know that was going on. How many times in life do things happen outside, totally outside of our control? Or at least it appears that way. And yet God was in the midst of this. We saw how Daniel acted in wisdom in the midst of that issue. We saw how Daniel acted in faith, fully expecting that God would be faithful again, just like he was in chapter 1. But we also saw how they went from chaos to praise. Daniel and the four men prayed together, and God answered their prayers. The steps that we can use to handle difficult situations in a strange land. And I know most of us were born in this land, but it is getting stranger and stranger every day. So that brings us to our text this morning, back to where we began in chapter 1, if you will, God's sovereignty over all. And in this case, the rest of the story of chapter 2. So follow along as I read verses 25 through 49 of chapter 2. When Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus to him, "I have found among the exiles from Judah a man who will make known to the king the interpretation." The king declared to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation?" Gotta love this answer from Daniel. Daniel answered the king and said, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or astrologer can show the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in bed are these. To you, O king, as you lay in bed, came thoughts of what would be after this. And he who reveals mysteries have made known to you what is to be. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me not because of any wisdom that I have more than all other living, but in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your mind. You saw, O king, and behold, a great image. This image, mighty and exceeding brightness, stood before you, and its appearance was frightening. The head of this image was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. As you looked, a stone was cut out by no human hand, and it struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold all together were broken in pieces and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, so that not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. Now we will tell the king its interpretation. You, O king, the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, and the might, and the glory, and into whose hand he has given, wherever they dwell, the children of man, the beasts of the field, the birds of the heaven, making you rule over them all, you are the head of gold. Another kingdom inferior to you shall come after you, and yet a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And there shall be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, because iron breaks to pieces and shatters all things. And like iron that crushes, it shall break and crush all things. And as you saw, the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom. But some of the firmness of iron shall be in it, just as you saw iron mixed with soft clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly brittle. As you saw the iron mixed with soft clay, so they will mix with one another in marriage, but they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of the kings, of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall that kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and that it broke into pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. A great God has made known to you, the king, what shall be after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation sure. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and paid homage to Daniel, and commanded that an offering and incense be offered up to him. The king answered and said to Daniel, "Truly your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mystery." Then the king gave Daniel high honors and many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel made a request to the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel remained at the king's court. Pray with me. Father, we rejoice in your word. We rejoice in this narrative because it is true. Absolutely. It's not a story. It's not a fairy tale. It is a true event that teaches us multiple and many things. Father, we pray that your spirit would guide our hearts and our minds to incorporate into our lives that which is crucial for us today, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, much of what we've seen so far in the first chapter and the first part of the second chapter is the favorable influence that God gave to those around Daniel when he first came in to Babylon. We saw the favorable influence on the chief of eunuchs. And because of that, the steward of the chief of eunuchs listened to Daniel, and they did the food thing and the wine stuff, and they were all amiable towards that. And then the same thing with Arioch then and Arioch now, the captain of the guard for the king. Daniel was able to come and go and talk to him about such situations. Now, God is the one who set the stage. But Daniel had also been given humility by God, intellect by God, wisdom by God, understanding, discernment by God. And he used them well, not to put people off, but to draw them in, to see the power of God ultimately, to live among these pagans to bring God glory in his calling and be a blessing to those around him. I think it's interesting as we begin this section that Daniel doesn't go to the king with his answer. He goes to Arioch and lets Arioch go to the king and say and take credit. I have found the one who can give you interpretation. Daniel understood the protocol. Daniel understood the need for this man to have to be encouraged so that he could stand before the king. Daniel's wisdom, his humility, has been on display from the very beginning. In the same way, God gives us gifts and callings and the power to carry all that out. But it's up to us to use those things for his glory. Remember, James says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And Daniel is showing us. That's why we started with James and jumped over to Daniel. He's showing us. James commanded us to do this, and Daniel is showing us how to do this. Today, much of the narrative, it deals, of course, with the interpretation of the king's dream. So we'll see the sovereign God as the revealer of mysteries in verses 25 through 30. Then we will see the temporary nature of worldly kingdoms in contrast to the eternal nature of God's sovereignty overall. Then lastly, we'll see God's sovereignty in his faithfulness towards Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. So let's begin with seeing God's sovereignty as a revealer of mysteries in verses 25 through 30. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus to him, I have found among the exiles from Judah a man who will make known to the king the interpretation. The king declared to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered the king and said, no wise man, enchanter, magician, astrologer can show the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to the king that what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in the bed are these. To you, O king, as you lay in your bed, come thoughts of what would be after this. And he who reveals mysteries made known to you what is to be. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have more than all others, but in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your mind. Now, God has already revealed the dream and the interpretation to Daniel. We saw that last week. As they prayed, and him and the three men got together to pray, the scripture says, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night, and Daniel blessed God from heaven. Now, this mystery was obviously not a mystery to God, but it was a mystery to Daniel and to the king and to everyone else at the moment. Mysteries are interesting. We get all caught up in everything that surrounds mysteries in our day and age, but a mystery is just something that hasn't been revealed yet. That's all it really is, because as we go through time, the mysteries of medical science have evolved. The mysteries of our faith have been resolved as we see the scriptures from the original language and all and through. These mysteries are just things that haven't been revealed yet. Now, of course, they can cause a great consternation when we don't know what they are. Just like we saw last week with the chaos in the court of Nebuchadnezzar. But they can also be a great cause of opportunity to reveal the God of the universe. We live in a day and age of much confusion. We live in a day and age of much untruth, and that untruth and that confusion results in unrest. But we have the answers. not because of anything within us, but because of the scriptures before us. God reveals all of that for the same way. His mystery has been revealed. The mystery of faith to those who don't have it. The mystery of eternal life to those who don't have it. The mystery has been revealed in Jesus Christ. And he did this all for his own glory. But no wise man can show the king the mystery that he has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to the king, to King Nebuchadnezzar, what will be in latter days. So Daniel quickly points to the one who gave the mystery, also to the one who gave the interpretation of that mystery, who reveals that mystery, the revealer of mysteries, the one, the sovereign Lord over all. Daniel takes no credit for what he's about to repeat, unlike the other advisors and even unlike Arioch. He takes no credit. In fact, he says, there is not a man on earth who can meet the king's need. The thing the king asks is difficult. No one can show the king except the gods. And I find it interesting that the enchanters, the magicians, they were the ones who made that statement. Only the gods that, oh, by the way, they don't live among us can reveal this. Don't you love it when non-believers get really up close to the truth? Because only God, the God, is going to reveal this to him. But the great thing about our God is that he lives among us. Their gods didn't. Our God is intimate with us. He's personal with us. He lives with us through the Holy Spirit. But there is a God, Daniel said. And that God is the revealer of mysteries. God is sovereign. God is omniscient. And he contrasts this God with all of human limitations and all the idols, the limitations of the idols that surround us as people. This whole phrase emphasizes and underscores the wisdom and understanding that God is in charge. That God is above all. Just as Daniel had prayed in his prayer, he says, this God gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. God is in complete control here, just like he is in our day and age with the chaos that we see around us. The king had been given a great gift from God to see the things that would come about in the future. But he needed the interpretation to reveal those mysteries, the one true God, so that the king would know the thoughts of his mind. This pagan king, God wants to make sure he knows the interpretation and the thought of his mind. God's grace to give him this insight. Why? To be relieved of the night terrors and to possibly go on to do things that proclaim God as sovereign, which we will see at the end of this. Well, next we see the temporary nature of worldly powers in contrast to God's sovereign rule, verse 31 through 45. You saw, O king, and behold, a great image. This image, mighty and of exceeding brightness, stood before you, and its appearance was frightening. The head of this image was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. As you looked, the stone was cut out by no human hand and struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold all together were broken in pieces and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. Now we will tell the king its interpretation. you, O King, the King of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power and the might and the glory, and into whose hand he has given, wherever they dwell, the children of man, the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, making you rule over all of them, you are the head of gold. Another kingdom inferior to you will rise after you, and yet a third kingdom of bronze which shall rule over all the earth, and there shall be a fourth kingdom strong as iron, because iron breaks to pieces and shatters all things. And like iron that crushes, it shall break and crush all things. And as you saw the feet and the toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom. But some of the firmness of iron shall be in it, just as you saw iron mixed with soft clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly brittle. As you saw the iron mixed with the soft clay, so that they will mix with one another in marriage, but they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. A great God has made known to the king what shall be after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Of course, Daniel begins with the dream, because he knew the context in which this needed to be taken care of. The protocol was, you give me the dream, then you give me the interpretation, because if you can give me my dream, I will know that you can interpret the dream. Besides, it also expresses Daniel's genuineness and his integrity. It's interesting, he doesn't say, I think this was your dream. He doesn't ask the question, is this your dream? No, he emphatically states, you saw and behold, and at the end of all that, he says, this dream is certain and the interpretation is sure. He was 100% sold out to the fact that God had revealed this to him. There was no question. The phrase is humbling in that as well, you saw and behold, for Nebuchadnezzar, the greatest power of the day, was simply a spectator. God was the one controlling history. Nebuchadnezzar thought he controlled history, but he doesn't call the shots. God does. Daniel is so confident in this revelation that God has given to him concerning the dream as he goes through the dream and paints that picture. It's pretty straightforward and apparently frightening to the king. As we said last week, he didn't understand how all the pieces fit together, and he couldn't remember all the pieces. And so it was frightening, to be sure, because the king was traumatized. He was fearful and couldn't sleep. But now comes the hard part for the king to hear, the interpretation. Remember, Daniel claims no power on his own. This was all given to him by God. In fact, he could have said something simply, I don't know these things because I have more wisdom than anyone else. I know them because God has revealed them to me. For this reason, so that you will know. That's why it was revealed to me. And what is it that God wants this particular king to know? Well, first, verses 37 and 38. You, O King, the King of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, and the might, and the glory, and into whose hands he has given, wherever they dwell, the children of men, the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, making you rule over them all, you are the head of gold. God wants him to know specifically where Nebuchadnezzar's position and power comes from. God himself has set up Nebuchadnezzar in this place to be this powerful. Nebuchadnezzar can take no credit for the supremacy that he has at this point in time. You are the King of Kings at the moment. But the God of heaven, the God who is, has given you your kingdom, has given you your power, your might, and your glory, making you ruler over them all. That's why you are the head of gold at this moment. Now, all of this, I can't even imagine when Daniel went through this whole recalling the dream. It had to blow Nebuchadnezzar's mind, to be sure. So he would have been listening very intently, and he really would have liked this part of the interpretation, I can imagine. You are the head of gold. We all would like to be told that, right? But you know he was paying close attention, especially there. But there's another thing that God wants Nebi to know. All of this, all of the kingdoms of the world, all of the kingdoms of the world are answerable to God. And they rise and fall based on God's command. No one is a king or a god unto themselves. The God who causes them to rise and fall is the one who reveals this mystery. He's the one that's greater than all. He is the one who changes times and seasons. He is the one who removes kings and sets kings up. All nations, all worldly kingdoms are temporary. But God is sovereign and he is eternal. All nations come and go as a stone cut by no human hand will deny them their complete supremacy. Verse 44 speaks of Christ coming and setting up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. The last of the kingdoms, Rome, will not be able to contain him. In these days of the kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. One kingdom to rule them all. For our God is sovereign over all. We have seen this already, but this interpretation even speaks to us today that we should always remember crisis is only temporary. Chaos is only temporary. Hardship is only temporary, but it's all necessary, forging us into the people that God has called us to be, but it's only temporary. Securities, terrors of the day are all doomed to fail. All things man-made will have their day if God wills it, but they will pass away with the world when Christ returns. For our trust and our hope can only be in this one that stands firm, this stone that will knock them all down. Kingdoms of men come and go. We see throughout history, but the kingdom of God is eternal, sovereign over all. Lastly today, we see our sovereign God's faithfulness in verses 46 through 49. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and paid homage to Daniel, and commanded that an offering and incense be offered up to him. The king answered and said to Daniel, "Truly your God is a God of gods, and Lord of kings, and a revealer of mystery. For you have been able to reveal this mystery." Then the king gave Daniel high honors and many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel remained at the king's court. The King of Kings fell on his face. We can't even begin to comprehend how that moved the people in the court when the King of Kings fell on his face, prostrate. For the first time, perhaps in his whole life, recognizing that someone is bigger than he is. Humility. The king was humbled at that moment. Openly, publicly acknowledging the divine wisdom revealed through Daniel, given to him by Daniel's God. He even pays homage to Daniel, recognizing the feat that he has accomplished that no one else could do, and keeping his word. He said that he would do that if they would do this for him. These acts and these outcomes highlight the influence of God over all. All these things, starting with that today, that day, Nebuchadnezzar is beside himself. He says, truly, your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery. He acknowledges the supremacy of Daniel's God over all deities. Now, don't take this as a conversion story. Not yet. He's simply recognizing the authority of one God over all the rest. Remember, these were somewhat pantheistic in their way that they dealt with God. So he recognized the power of Daniel's God. That's all he's doing here at this point. That Daniel's God was the most powerful. That Daniel even had a relationship with this God is also what he says here. Your God. Those two words in the Hebrew make it clear that Nebuchadnezzar recognized the intimate relationship that Daniel had with God. Something that he didn't have with his gods. Remember, the other guys said that our gods don't dwell with us. They don't deal with us. But this, your God. It's a relationship that enabled Daniel to calm the king by giving the king what he needed. The answers to his struggles. God was faithful to him to give him the prophecy of the future. He was faithful to Daniel once again to interpret the dream. This continued faithfulness will be a theme that we reach all the way through the book with Daniel and the three others. And of course, this faithfulness is seen in how he was rewarded. Daniel, like Joseph, earlier in time, became the king's vizier, his second in command. And he was also the overseer of all the enchanters, the magicians, the astrologers, and advisors. And then the three brothers or three men at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are given specific oversight of different regions of Babylon. All three of them were in charge of one region or another that made up the whole country. They answered to Daniel. Daniel answered to the king. Thus fulfilling the promise of God for his people in exile. Jeremiah 29. But seek the welfare of the city where I have set you into exile. Pray to the Lord on its behalf for its welfare. In its welfare, you will find your welfare. Now, that's a great story. Those of you who grew up in Sunday school, you've heard this story, and the ones we'll look at the next couple of weeks, you've heard them before, but so what? So what? Well, the one thing that we need to know as believers so that we can stand assured and confident is the main overarching theme. Our God is still sovereign over all. That we have in His Word the assurance that God's kingdom will triumph over all. So in this day and age when we see chaos, we see what appears to be people running rampant with no control. God is in control. This dream tells us that kingdoms will come and go. We need to know that as assurance that we're following and walking in the right path before God. We also need to know that crisis will come and crisis will go. There will be times of celebration and times of joy. But the big thing that we need to know is that the kingdom has already come. Jesus said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe the gospel. Not only is the kingdom at hand, not only is the kingdom here, we are part of that kingdom now. This is where our refuge is. This is where our assurance, our hope, and our comfort is. In this kingdom that is in charge now. Sometimes it's hard to see, but that's another reason why it's so important to be in this book regularly, praying before the Lord, being in church, receiving His sacraments, to keep reminded of the truth. Our God, one, is winning. And that was never in doubt because He is the God above all gods. The one who is sovereign over all. Since He is sovereign over all of history and all of His promises come to pass, we can have confidence. That we can have a heart of confidence even in a strange land that's getting stranger and stranger by the day. Pray with me. Our Father, we thank You for the sovereignty that we have in You. We thank You for this message of Daniel. We thank You as well for Christ, who is the stone that was cut out by no human hand, that struck all the images of our lives that held us and sometimes still hold us captive, causing the worldly things to crumble. And then You replace them by placing us in Your kingdom, which we are a part of by Your grace. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.